So I just want to wrap up our semester. So every last couple of weeks, we've been talking about how to build a fire in the snow. And the idea behind that is spiritual disciplines in spiritual winters. So what are the things in your life that you need to continue to go through spiritual winters, that maybe your community is different, maybe your devotion life's different, maybe your rhythms are different, but these are like core disciplines that we all need to continue to not just survive a winter, but actually thrive through it. And I was actually thinking about this a little bit, and I was looking at our trees and how like desolate our trees are in our yard, and there's like no leaves, and it's nasty, and like all the leaves are on the ground. But I was thinking about how much the roots actually grow underneath, like how ugly it is on the outside, but how much deep, rich growth is actually happening under the surface. And so for some of you guys, this winter break may just be a lot of internal growth. And we celebrate that. You may not have a lot of great things to share on the outside, or maybe the fruit hasn't fully developed, or maybe when you come back, you just know that God did some good things, but you don't know how to articulate that, all that, and that's okay. So we're looking for God to continue to move and to continue to grow us through each in every season. So I want to look at one last spiritual discipline. And so if you guys turn with me to Acts 19. We got two verses I want to look at tonight. So the first one's Acts 19. We're going to look at Acts verse 1 through 12. So as we dig into this passage tonight, I just have one big question that I want us to look into is your hunger. So the discipline we're talking about is your hunger, your spiritual hunger. Are you hungry for God? Just like our physical hunger, we're like, who ate a great Thanksgiving meal? Okay, like really, who really ate a great Thanksgiving meal? You can like hoot and holler, it's okay. Okay, a few of you. So, okay, keep your hand raised, I want to see. So, I'm trying to think how to do this, so sorry. So, okay, now put your hand down. So, hey, put your hand up if you've eaten since Thanksgiving. Oh, wow, that's amazing. Like, you just had a great meal, and then you had to eat again? Oh, that's how it works, isn't it? See, that's how it works physically, but it also works spiritually, because God doesn't just do one great thing in our life, and that lasts us for months and months and months. We continue to hunger after God. We hunger after his presence. We hunger after what he does in community. We hunger after his word in our life. We don't just read like one great verse of the day like, oh man, I'm good for this semester. I'm good to go, right? So we continue to hunger. So I want to talk a little bit about that tonight. So Acts 19, let me pray. Jesus, would you increase our hunger? God, we thank you that we get to celebrate you. We get to celebrate all of what you're doing in our life, in our community. God, we celebrate the end of the semester. God, praise you, Jesus. This semester doesn't last forever and these classes don't last forever. Sometimes we feel like we just want you to come back immediately right before finals. Lord, but we need you, and we love you, and we thank you for the gift that we have in this season. God, this community is a gift. This time is a gift. And so help us to hunger and thirst for you during it, and help us to grow greatly through it. In the name of Jesus, amen. Awesome. So Acts 19, starting in verse 1, we're going to read through verse 12. And I'm reading in the NIV, and it's not going to be up on your screen, so you guys can just look it up in your Bibles. Verse 1, while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. Ephesus is a city. There he found some disciples. Everybody say disciples. And he asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Or some translations say, after you believed. They answered, no. We have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. So Paul asked, then what baptism did you receive? John's baptism, they replied. Paul said, John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is, in Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus, i.e. water baptized. Then Paul placed his hands on them, and the Holy Spirit came on them. And they spoke in tongues and prophesied, and there were about 12 men in all. Verse 8, Paul entered the synagogue and spoke. So he's like on a spiritual high, like he just had a great moment, great ministry moment. So he's like, hey, let's continue this going. Paul enters, in verse 8, Paul entered the synagogue and spoke boldly. There were there for 3 months, arguing persuasively about the kingdom of God. And here's where it's really interesting. But some of them became obstinate They refused to believe and publicly maligned the way. And if you don't know, the way is what people used to call Christians, or that the Christianity very, very early on in Christianity. So Paul left them, and he took the disciples with them and had discussions daily in the lecture hall of Tyrannus. This went on for 2 years, so all the Jews and Greeks who lived in the province of Asia heard the word of the Lord. God did extraordinary miracles. Everybody say miracles. Through Paul, so that even handkerchiefs and aprons that had touched him were taken to the sick, and their illnesses were cured, and the evil spirits left them. Wow. That's an intense passage. And I'll just say right now, like, I used to have handkerchiefs in my pocket, and I've never had one of those heal somebody. Okay? I don't even think I've known anybody that's had a handkerchief heal somebody else, or an apron that touched them. But I do know that it's in the Word of God. So I believe that it happened. And if it happened, I believe that it can happen again. So if I hear a story about that happening, I'm not going to doubt. I'm like, well, it sounds like it could happen because we already see it happening in Acts, right? But this is a crazy passage. We see Paul encountering these disciples. He has a dramatic ministry moment. Then these other people reject him. He's talking for 3 months, and they're like, nope. Then he has to move on, and then he has more great ministry. And then the Bible thankfully tells us that God did extraordinary miracles through Paul, so that even handkerchiefs and aprons that had touched him were taken to the sick, and their illnesses are cured. So these are real diseases that got healed. Real diseases. It doesn't go into all the details, but some of them probably life-threatening. Some of them probably, like, you know, like they couldn't just put a little oil on it and have it go away. Like, these are things that really needed healed. Physically, spiritually, emotionally. And we also see that evil spirits were actually leaving people because of Paul's ministry, which is amazing. And side note, if you're like, well, that's just the New Testament stuff. Hey, we still see stuff like this happen today. We see this on campuses. We see this on our campus. We see this on campuses across the country of people getting healed, evil spirits leaving people, people having supernatural moments with God. And we don't doubt it. We don't shy away from it because we see it in Scripture. We were like, well, Paul did it, and he's just a simple follower of Jesus, so why can't other people do it as well, right? So a couple things to note from this passage. So we see Paul. Paul absolutely knew God. I don't think many people would doubt that, but Paul knew God. He understood who God was. He understood the Bible. He understood the Holy Spirit. He understood Jesus. He understood the Father. And he didn't have everything right, but he understood God. He even proclaimed the gospel powerfully, as we see here. God did miracles through Paul. God, clearly put, God used Paul to heal sick people. God used Paul to exorcise demons out of possessed people. God even used Paul to prophetically know what other people needed, and he prayed for them, and they received healing, and they received blessing, and they received what they needed from God. But here's the interesting thing. Paul knew that Paul wasn't enough. Paul knew that himself wasn't enough. The best preachers aren't enough. The best worship band isn't enough. The best setting, the time of night, the day of week isn't enough. The difference maker in this passage is not Paul, because we see two different groups hearing the same message from Paul in two different responses. The difference maker in this passage is the Holy Spirit. The difference maker is the Holy Spirit. They had the same message, the same preacher, the same culture, the same season, but two very different responses. And I believe, personally, and we see this even in, let me look at where it was. Everybody look at verse 9. It says, but some of them became obstinate. What do your guys' translations say? Stubborn, closed-minded, hardened. That Greek word obstinate means hardened hearts. So anytime you see hardened hearts in the New Testament, it means that same thing of like their hearts were callous to the move of God. And it's almost like tragic to watch this because you see these great believers, these disciples in Ephesus, receive more of the Holy Spirit, like prophetically, supernaturally. And then he goes to a synagogue and it's like, oh yeah, it's great, it's going to happen again. And then no, they harden their hearts. It's sad even to watch. But the difference was the Holy Spirit. But in the people, the difference was hunger and teachability. It was the same culture. It was the same people. It was the same preacher. It was a similar message. It was the same gospel. It wasn't years and years and years and years, decades later. The difference in the people was hunger and teachability. And the cool thing is that is something that we can actually change in our own lives too. We get to impact our own hunger and our own teachability. The believers in Ephesus had soft, open, moldable hearts. Because of that, they literally experienced more of God. Isn't that awesome? Because their hearts were just open and impressionable to God. They literally experienced more of God. It wasn't they just had a great moment, but it continued to experience more and more of God. They were baptized in the Holy Spirit, and it says they spoke in tongues and they prophesied. Not because of the preacher, but just because of their humbled hearts. Isn't that awesome? You and I get a chance to have humble and hungry and teachable hearts as well. And that's one of the reasons why Heather and I love to do Chi Alpha. We love to do campus ministry, is because you guys are usually way more teachable than people like my age, okay? And I'm older, so I'm 34, okay? Maybe I'm not old. I don't really know. It depends. I have a little bit of white in my beard, but you can't tell. But you guys, in this stage of life, you're naturally more teachable. You're naturally more hungry for information. You guys have, like, access to way more information than Heather and I ever did. And one of the things that they talk about, your guys' generation, is that the, like, onslaught of information is so heavy all the time. You guys have probably gotten, like, 10 messages just from the start of my message here. Maybe more. You're, like, fighting, like, oh, man, am I doing it right? Should I respond to that? Like, you're constantly having to fight influx of information, more information, more information. But the cool thing about you guys is that you have the opportunity, and we have the opportunity to be hungry for more of God. We have the opportunity to be teachable to God. And the amazing thing is, it doesn't matter who's in the mic. It doesn't matter how good the worship band is. It doesn't matter if the lighting's right. We can still get more of God. I've been in services where everything was perfect, but my heart wasn't right, so I didn't get much out of it. And I've been in other services or other moments when, like, everything was terrible. The keys were wrong, the singer was off, the lighting was bad, it was too hot or too cold, but I got more out of it because I was hungry and I wanted more of God. Quick side note. So it's a really interesting when Paul says, he asks the questions, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed in verse 2? Paul has some of the best theology of any person in the New Testament. So we can trust that his theology wasn't bad here. Paul knew that believers actually had the Holy Spirit when they believe. So he's not asking, did you get it originally? He's asking, did you have an experience with the Holy Spirit? And we see this even in 2 Corinthians 1, verse 21 and 22 is Paul speaking. He says, now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us. He set his seal of ownership on us. He put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. We also see verses similar to that about the Holy Spirit being in believers in Romans 8, 9 and 1 Corinthians 6, 19. Paul was referring here to receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit, just like we see in Acts 2, Acts 8, Acts 9, and Acts 10. We can trust that Paul had solid theology in this moment. For us, as we follow Jesus, our growth is not determined by how many connection services you sit through. It's not determined by how many pews you sat in over the course of your life in churches. It doesn't even matter like how many retreats you've been to. It matters, but it's not guaranteed by how many retreats, how many core groups you've been in part of. It doesn't even get, like, to have, who's excited about extra time over winter break? Yeah? Yeah, I know I am. But the extra time doesn't guarantee extra growth with Jesus, right? Even having a great community doesn't guarantee growth with Jesus. But you know what does guarantee growth with Jesus? Hunger. Teachability. I can guarantee you, if you have a soft and a moldable heart towards God, you will grow. We see it over and over in the Old Testament that God does not desire great public sacrifices, but a broken and a moldable heart. In the Gospels, we see the same thing. And you guys, can you turn with me to Luke 11, verse 9 through 13? I love this passage because it's so simple, and it's a promise that we go back to over and over again. Luke 11, verse 9 through 13. You guys there? So starting in verse 9, let me turn there actually. So I say to you, ask. Everybody say ask. Ask. And it will be given to you. Everybody say seek.
Seek.
And you will find. Everybody say knock.
Knock.
And the door will be open to you. Those verb tenses in the Greek actually mean keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. I say to you, ask and will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks the door will be open. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? He doesn't just say, I'll give you what you ask. That's not what he's saying. But he says, when you ask for more of me, you get exactly what you ask for. Because we can ask amiss. We can pray prayers that God won't answer. But when we pray prayers that God desires to answer, then he loves to fulfill those prayers. I love it when my kids ask me for stuff. I love it when my kids, like, they want what I have. They want to share things with me. I love it when my kids, like, come up and they snuggle with me. Last night we were watching The New Grinch. Anybody seen The New Grinch? It's, like, by Illumination. So we're watching that, and I got all my kids just, like, snuggling. Like, I'm laying on the ground. I'm just loving it because they want more of my attention. They want more of me, and I'm happy as their dad to give it to them. Your Father in heaven is the best dad that you could have. If you're going to ask for more of him, you're going to get more of him. Let me say that again. If you're going to ask for more of him, you're going to get more of him. Amen? So let me give you guys a challenge as we go into winter break, okay? You guys all right with a challenge?
Yeah.
Okay. So as we go into this Advent season, which Advent means this anticipation of the birth of Christ, we're celebrating Emmanuel. Anybody know what the word Emmanuel means? God with us, right? So as we celebrate the birth of Jesus, it's a powerful season. But we know that in God's perfect plan, he didn't just send Jesus as a baby to grow up and to die on a cross for our sins. But actually, in God, in the Father's great plan, he instructed Jesus to leave. Do you know why Jesus left? Anybody know why Jesus left? Why did Jesus say he left? It was the Father's will. Anybody else know why? In John 16, it tells us, Jesus is saying, it's actually good for me to go away. Because if I go away, this is Jesus speaking, if I go away, then I'll send the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit can be in you, and the Holy Spirit can move through you, and the Holy Spirit can be with you. It is good for Jesus to come. It is good for Jesus to die. It is good for Jesus to rise again. It is good for Jesus to leave this earth so that we could have an Emmanuel even closer with us, and that's the Holy Spirit. Isn't that awesome? So we got Jesus, and we love Jesus, and we celebrate Jesus. I think one of the best ways to honor Jesus this season is to honor the Holy Spirit, is to lift up the Holy Spirit, is to ask for more of the Holy Spirit in our life. So my simple challenge for us this winter break is to simply ask for more of the Holy Spirit, okay? So you guys actually have a super long winter break. I don't know if you guys even realize this. You have 30 days of a winter break. Yeah, you can celebrate. That's all right. 30 stinking days. That's insane. Okay, so you guys could, like, take this challenge in any way you want to, okay? Maybe take it as a core group. Maybe take it individually. Maybe take it as both. But take the challenge to ask for more of the Holy Spirit. Here's a couple options that you could do. You could take the 30 days and ask intently every single day over your break. You could ask 30 different ways or 30 different times, just, Holy Spirit, I want more of you. I'm not just saying just say that prayer 30 times. But I'm saying continue to ask for more of the Holy Spirit in your life. You guys could also, this may be fun, maybe you've not had a chance to do this, take a prayer retreat. You could go drive into the middle of nowhere, hopefully somewhere that's decently safe, on a Friday night when all your friends are gone, and just take time with Jesus. Pray the night away. Ask for more of him. Ask for more of the Holy Spirit. You could look through scriptures and find what the Holy Spirit did through men and women and say, God, I don't do that. Help me do that. God, I can't do that. Help me do that. God, I don't even know what that is. It looks like it would bless people and be important to people. Will you help me do that? God honors simple prayers and simple asks like that. That's another way you could do it. You also could pray with your core group over the phone. Maybe take like a, you could do like a group FaceTime. I get FaceTimes from Dylan Hadley at like 3 o'clock in the morning all the time. But maybe take one of those and just with your core group together, you could pray together and just seek God together and invite the Holy Spirit to say whatever he wants to say to you guys as a group. Another way you could do it is just to simply ask the Holy Spirit to baptize you, that you would speak in tongues, that you would prophesy, that you would experience all the gifts that the Holy Spirit has for you. Or even if you don't know where to start, you could say, God, I don't even know what I need. I just need more of you. So my challenge for you guys over break is to continue to ask for more of the Holy Spirit. Because when you ask for more of the Holy Spirit, you're going to what? You're going to get it. You're going to get more of the Holy Spirit. Can you guys stand with me? So I want to close tonight by starting to ask for more of the Holy Spirit so you can get close to somebody if you're next to them. If you're sitting alone, I encourage you to kind of squeeze by somebody, okay? And, hey, we're just going to pray for each other. I'm going to have you guys pray for each other, but I'm going to pray louder in the mic, okay? And so I'm thankful that God can hear all of us pray at the same time, okay? So you can go ahead and grab a hand. You can put your hand on your shoulder. We're just going to pray for each other, okay? One of the things I love about God is he's not really impressed with like amazing prayers, okay? Like really like flowery, you know, I can't even say the word. Like complex prayers, but he loves simple prayers. So if you're like, I don't even know what to ask for, man, if you're asking simply, man, I think that's a great way to start, okay? So let me pray for you guys. And as I'm praying, you can pray too, okay? And just start with the aspect you're just asking that your friend here would experience more of the Holy Spirit over winter break, okay? Does that make sense? Awesome. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. We love you so much. God, we love to experience who you are. God, we love all of you. Not just you, Jesus. Not just you, Father. Holy Spirit, we love you. We love to worship you. We love to give you praise. We love to give you attention. We love to give you honor. We love you, God. We love you. God, we confess that we're stubborn. God, I resist you. I don't want you all the time. God, I need you to forgive me. God, my hunger goes in and out. God, I even pretend that I don't need you sometimes. Lord, but I do. Lord, I need you. Holy Spirit, I thank you for what you've done in our family, in our Chi Alpha community. God, I thank you that you've been so good to us this semester. God, you've grown us in depth and in width. God, I thank you that you've been patient with us. God, you continue to be patient with me. God, I thank you that you are powerful. God, that you are forgiving. God, that you are loving, that you are full of mercy, that you are full of grace. God, I thank you that you invite us to feast at your table to experience all of you. God, you also are near to us when we mourn, when we have difficult times. God, when we go through valleys and winters and difficult areas. God, you are there with us too. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. I thank you, God, that you are full. God, you are full of good gifts. God, you are full of good gifts. And I simply ask that we would have more of you, Holy Spirit. God, I pray that this would be an incredible winter break for our family. God, we reject the plans of the enemy. We reject distractions. We reject, like, depression and anxiety and things that throw us off, God, but we hold on fast to who you are and what you are doing. Holy Spirit, we want more of you. Holy Spirit, I ask you not to hold back. I ask that you would not let up. I ask that you would push away the hard parts of our hearts and you would help soften our hearts so that we could receive you even more. Would you give us soft hearts and would you give us hungry spirits? We trust you, Holy Spirit, and we want more of you. If you agree, say amen. Amen. Amen.